It's funny that all these hardware announcements came out. I just recently purchased a bunch of components from Newegg to build a custom PC, something I haven't done in literally probably 15 years. I haven't done it since college, so the idea of I took a boxed CPU and I got a motherboard and a case and I got new RAM and putting that all together for a Skylake desktop. And it was merely my current desktop I bought for $80, and it was a Core 2 Duo, and it's just getting a little long in tooth, and I'm like, let's get as minimum components as possible. So it's like RAM, motherboard, CPU, case, power supply. That's it. Five components. And then I have a new PC. Are you excited about, the Surface Book announcements, or the, I guess, these rumors?
Yeah, they're rumors. I don't know. Whatever we see this fall is probably just going to be revisions to existing hardware. The most interesting thing I think we've heard this week, for me anyway, is that the Band 3 might actually be the big, there'll be possibly some revision bumps for the Surface line but the Band 3, I want a Band 3, especially since I think my new warranty, I only have another year on it. So this, I don't want to have to replace it a fourth time. I'd kind of like the new design, but it's not that I'm not excited about the concept. It's just some of this stuff that's come, these are rumors, and some of it just doesn't make any sense to me. Would Microsoft do an all-in-one?
If they get to a place where they are profitable with the Surface line, and they can make money at a low volume, they're doing all this really interesting stuff with 3D printing, and what they prototype in-house can be quickly created at scale, or at least relative scale. I think they did a really conservative run of the original band. Maybe from their perspective is why not? Their ultimate goal is to sell more Microsoft services, and so part of that has sort of trickled into, well, if we're going to sell more services and we're going to sell more Windows licenses, how do we spur the OEMs to make better hardware? And it wasn't until the Surface Pro 3 probably where hardware partners were kind of like, okay, we sort of get it now. It's not, to me, it's not as far-fetched as it probably could have been, in the Surface Pro 2 for Surface Pro 1 timeframe, because I mean they weren't profitable, they didn't really have a successful launch, and now it's like, okay, we can do these things, and you know what, it's okay if we run out of stock or we don't make enough of them. Let's be profitable. Let's set an example for OEMs and let's build something cool that's desirable. So it not super surprising, but also a little like, well, desktops are not exactly the future, right?
Well, and not just that. I mean, I think you're on point with regard to the reasons why they might consider doing it from a profitability standpoint. But I guess for me, it goes back to the question, we take that Surface Mini, for example, that got killed at the very last minute, because it didn't differentiate. That was the rationale we were given, because it didn't differentiate. It didn't have anything unique to offer. So I find myself asking the question, what is Microsoft going to put into an all-in-one with Windows 10 that is not either already in the pipeline with another OEM? I mean, I can see the rationale behind, okay, here's this new form factor. We have this, we want to highlight our operating system for this new form factor. Here goes the Surface, because the PC makers weren't doing two-in-ones at all well, and until Surface came along. So I don't know. I find myself struggling trying to figure out what the differentiation is going to be. How does that become a selling point? How do they showcase Windows 10 in a way that trumps whatever, or at least leads the way for OEMs who have already been doing all-in-ones forever and a day.
Yeah, and really, is there a meaningful enough market for a consumer all-in-one? Because I mean, enterprises are buying laptops these days, mm-hmm. or at least the enterprise I work for. Most of my family that are not in the tech space, they're buying tablets, or at the very most two-in-ones. Well, that's not true because they're all on Macs, but I don't know. It's interesting because, again, if they're trying to drive the whole concept of UWP, let's say you can make an app and it will run really good on a 30-inch, it'll run really good on a 60-inch, or I guess Surface Hub now, and it'll run really good on the phone. I don't see the volume, but again, I don't know that that's quite necessary, especially as if they're profitable right now. It's like, if they can be profitable and they can make a cool product that's desirable, they might be saying, well, why not? If they're trying to do it in a way where, I don't know, I mean maybe there's like a continuum tie-in or a I don't know.
Well, here's an interesting thought. So as you're sitting here talking, I'm thinking about, I've heard this before, not you specifically, but this concept of this living room device, this thing, I think they called it the Apple television, not the Apple TV device. I remember the Apple television, the TV that was going to be the big center of the living room, the all-in-one with the whole screen and the whole nine yards. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, Microsoft has all the components. They've got the Pixel Sense technology. They've got the Surface Hub technology. They've got the OS for that. They've got the Xbox TV capabilities. They've got, don't they have every component to actually build that type of device?
Yeah, but keep in mind, people want their super cheap Vizio TVs. Upgrade cycles for TVs are, five to eight years. Whereas, when you're iterating on technology, you want to be able to upgrade, every 2 to 4 years. So those upgrade cycles. So I don't think that they should get in the TV business, but I think they're better off making a puck, whether it's a continuum, some crazy continuum / Xbox / desktop PC all-in-one thing. I mean, there could be some validity to that, but I hope they don't make a TV. I think they'd be losing their focus at that point. Like, make the Xbox that connects to the TV, make the laptop, the really kick-ass laptop that can also be a tablet, and if you've got some time, make an all-in-one that, I don't know, beyond like the exceptional hardware and build quality, that could go head to head against, let's say an iMac. Somebody raised a really good point where there's not been a really good Windows laptop. When you ask somebody, well, what PC should I get? There wasn't just like one PC that everyone should buy, like until maybe the XPS 13 that just came out, a year ago? The same thing can be said for all-in-ones. What all-in-one do you go buy? Do you buy a Lenovo and worry about spyware? Do you go buy an HP and worry about them selling off that business? Do you buy a Dell and it's kind of a piece of junk? Like, what do you do? So they can swoop in and say, this is if you want a desktop, we're still going to support you. We still think the desktop space has room for innovation, and here's our play.
What do you feel about the statement that Microsoft is trying to be the go-to brand?
I don't think the OEMs like it, but I think it's... Well, so, you know what? It's kind of funny because, the Surface Book came out and it had a ton of hardware problems. And so when everyone was kind of like, oh yeah, I'm getting a Surface Book, reviews come out and it was like, oh wow, this is unstable. That XPS I've been eyeing and sort of waiting for looks like I'm going that route. And now we have the HP Spectre. So I think Microsoft doesn't really care. If they sell a Windows PC that's theirs, great. I see it as face value for what they really say is that their Surface devices, they're amazing and they're designed to be amazing because they want to set the tone for the market and they want to say, hey, OEMs, here's how you can build a high-end product. I don't think they're trying to own it. I don't see that. I mean, everything they're doing doesn't scream that to me, but maybe. I mean, enterprises really like them. I mean, the two companies that I've recently worked for, you see more and more Surface books and Pros pop up. So
yeah,
maybe.
Well, I mean, when it came time for me to get a new machine, I had a desktop, an HP desktop that I actually had to ask for because in a similar situation at work, you know, generally most enterprises, if development is part of software engineering is part of IT, everybody just assumes a laptop is adequate. And the lowest standard laptop that anybody that just needs to run Word and Excel is going to get is usually what you end up with. So after a desktop, my go-to machine ended up being an XPS 15. And it was, like you said, because of the reviews of the Surface. But I would have loved to have to bought into the Surface Book, but it just wasn't there. And this XPS 15 actually has been a really good machine. The only issue with it has been, you know, the Thunderbolt dock.
Do you feel like Microsoft is trying to win the OEM market or win the hardware market?
I don't think they're trying to win the hardware market, but I do definitely think that I think you are correct that it is a lot of focus on trying to set the tone with the decisions they're making in hardware. But when I say to be the go-to brand, I don't necessarily mean the everybody is running off to a Microsoft store to buy a Surface Book. I don't think the two things are mutually exclusive. I don't believe they're trying to win the hardware market. I think they realized a while back that was not the right way to go with the OEMs. But I've seen the commercials. You've seen the things, the change in marketing tone from the company overall. So when I say want to be the go-to brand, I guess to make it cliche, they want to be the cool kid. They want to be the kid everybody on the block looks up to and says, "Hey, I want something that looks and functions like that does, even though I can't afford that." And that's where the masses are. The masses are not, you know, people in software engineering. They're going out and buying, you know, $2,300 Surface Books.
No,
that's not where the mass market is. The mass market, though, is looking for that aspirin. And what Apple has been extremely successful at that exact thing, being the aspirational brand. So the advantage Microsoft has is that you can actually get a knockoff. Which you can't really do with an app. I mean, yeah, I guess you could if you went with a Samsung device that was made to look like a MacBook. But you know what I mean by that. It's just you can't. Nobody's loading Mac OS X on, you know, their own machines.
That's actually the Hackintosh market is kind of had a re.
Has it?
Yeah, it's kind of had a resurgence. Because Apple's hardware is so out of date right now that you can't buy, I mean, you go out and buy a $3,000 Mac Pro and my little custom PC that I'm putting together for $600 will blow that Mac Pro out of the water. I mean, they're not using Skylake CPUs. They're not, I mean, it's kind of their hardware is way out of date right now. So the Hackintosh market is actually, I mean, it's still a crazy small market, but it's had a big resurgence lately. Speaking of Apple, you know, they sort of changed the game because what they were able to do is sell an $800 phone and for $200. And all of a sudden, because that was worked into the normal phone pricing model in the subscription, or I guess the subsidized, because it was part of the subsidized model, people weren't realizing that they were buying an $800 phone. They were like, wow, I get this amazing build quality and this really good camera and everything for $200. It's better than my point and shoot that I bought for $400. So that whole entire market, like all consumers, just shifted to say, well, we want really nice build quality now. And some have gone to Max and some haven't. You know, some people are still looking at, you know, okay, I don't want my computer to cost very much more than my phone. So they'll have like an iPhone and then this like $300 Dell something, something, something. And it's terrible, you know. And it's a total, you know, apples to oranges comparison. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like Microsoft is saying, look, you can have a crapware free PC and it'll be a really cool form factor. And oh, by the way, we're here to push form factors. So this laptop that you're looking at, that's $1,500. I mean, yeah, it's a Mac price, but guess what? It's also a tablet. And then all of a sudden that value proposition is, so I can have nice hardware. I can use an operating system that I'm familiar with that I use at work. And I don't have to be falling behind from a hardware quality standpoint. It's not going to fall apart on me. Drivers may not quite work all the time. but yeah, so I mean, I definitely think they want to be the cool kid. And you know what? It's about damn time. And yeah. What's crazy and also amazing is that Ballmer really kicked this off.
Yeah, you have to give, you know, Nadella gets a lot of credit, but the whole one Microsoft thing really was Ballmer's brainchild, and he did kick it off. And it's, you know, it's hard to really judge from the outside, I think, just the scope of that, but it definitely started with him.
He was the one that said, hey, we're going to get into the hardware game. Maybe, yeah. I don't know if it was I mean, I have no knowledge of this whatsoever, but I don't know if it was a jealousy thing or a frustration or what, but he was the one that said, we're going to start building hardware. Oh, and by the way, we're also going to buy Nokia, or at least the parts of Nokia. And again, to Nadella's credit, you know, it's definitely drive the car you buy, right? So yeah. If, you know, Nadella landed this awesome gig and he's driving it, he's saying, I mean, the Surface Book came out under his leadership. What's great is that Nadella's like, all right, I'm going to kill the Surface Mini, but I'm going to let the Surface Book be released. So he's not afraid to say, okay, this hardware is not quite good enough or not differentiated enough, because that was a last minute decision. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That was in hindsight, I think that was an amazing idea, because nobody's making mini tablets and being successful at it now. I mean, the focus of the industry, and this is all Surface Pros doing, the entire industry has gone upstream. Like, yeah. All of a sudden, Apple wants to make a iPad Pro for something other than consumption. They want to have a stylus. They want to... so they're like, oh yeah, that mini thing. Yeah, let's forget about that. So Google was originally successful, credit to them for doing the Nexus 7, which kind of kicked off that whole 7-inch mini market. Mm. So I am in the camp of, boy, am I glad that they killed off the Surface Mini, because that would just be a distraction.
I agree. I'm in that same camp. Besides that, I couldn't think of a use in my life for a mini. You know, it's not something that fit in. If you have a 6-inch 1520, you know, that's good enough.
Well, plus it was going to be full-blown Windows, and full-blown Windows is still just too fidgety for that sort of form factor.
Yeah.
I mean, even with, they've done some amazing things to simplify the interface, especially for touch devices, but it's still too fidgety in certain areas. And mobile devices need to be really streamlined. And Windows 10 Mobile is fantastic at that. So it'll be interesting to see how that sort of how the ARM-based mobile devices sort of mature. Like, do they take them more to larger form factors because of that simplicity and ease of use? It's more designed for portrait instead of landscape, yada yada yada.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting that the talk is that Intel won't be inside the Surface phone. That's the talk.
But that's not surprising. Is that surprising to you?
A little bit. I guess not so. Yeah, it is a little surprising, actually, because I had always kind of conceived that the Surface phone, well, at least once the direction change at Microsoft was made clear and we were getting out of the consumer market, most of Nokia got sold off, that the Surface phone was going to be a business phone. That's the way they positioned it. That, at least that's the way it seems to be positioned. That's the way Nadella has positioned it. So I always anticipated that it would have an Intel processor inside it. It would basically be a supercharged mini computer in your hand. And I'm not saying that the existing ARM architecture can't do that. It's clearly working in the 950, but just how far do they want to take it? You know, I just thought that the ARM platform was a little too restrictive. At least I'm not a hardware expert from a processor standpoint, so that's just my conventional wisdom. But I don't know, it just seemed like an odd thing to happen for just suddenly all the talk about Intel just stopped.
Well, there's two things to that. The first one is that Intel basically said we're not going to make mobile processors anymore. So if, you know, and they laid off, I don't remember how many people. I mean, that's a huge blow to any sort of Intel mobile. I look at it as, I think ARM is the future. I think we can all agree that mobile computing is the future, or at least a big portion of the future. Cell radios are a big portion of the future, and x86 is, the innovation is just not quite there like it is on ARM. You gain one big advantage, I'm not denying it. If you have an Intel phone, all of a sudden you can run x86 software. You plug it into Continuum and you have a pretty compelling story for businesses. But then it's like, well, that's great. How much, like, percentage wise, how often are you using that Continuum feature versus percentage wise, how often are you needing to text message, make phone calls, have really good battery life, have good resume and you know, sleep and all of that, where all of that stuff has sort of been bolted on in for the x86 platform in the last couple of years, just because they're trying to compete with ARM with,
right,
you know, this big behemoth of x86. I think it was super smart for them to release Windows RT, despite the marketing, despite the marketing pitfalls that came along with that. The whole idea of putting full-blown Windows on ARM was really smart.
I will say that I don't believe that I've ever actually been in range of someone that said that audibly out loud. Usually the conventional wisdom is that the Surface RT was just a complete disaster and should have never seen the light of day.
It was a marketing disaster, but I don't think it was a disaster. I think there was a lot of good that came out of it. I mean, the phone you're carrying in your pocket, that exists today because of Windows RT. The universal Windows platform exists because of Windows RT. So it was a marketing fail, and the underpowered, devices that they released were fails, but they learned a lot. And I think the idea was incredibly sound. I mean, I think it was such a good idea, and I'm so glad they did it, and it was so smart. And when ARM, this is probably the fundamental point of tonight's episode, is that Microsoft is really putting their eggs in a lot of baskets, because They don't want to repeat past mistakes. They're looking at it like, okay, we're going to build a HoloLens, so that's our AR slash VR play. We're going to do an Xbox, so that's our living room play. We're going to build a really cool 2-in-1. That's our tablet slash laptop play. You know what? We got to get the desktop covered, because mobile sort of caught them. They were by far the biggest player in mobile. I think BlackBerry was in the mix too, and Palm was in the mix too, but iPhone comes out and it took them 2 years to respond to that. And so
Yeah.
by them having all these little avenues of hardware, they have a band, they have, this and that and this and that. Now all of a sudden, if there's like this sweeping far range monumental shift of technology like we had in the mobile space, they're ready for it. Let's say desktops become huge again. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks that, but they would be ready with an all-in-one. Let's say wearables really do take off, and all of a sudden they have their answer to that, and they can iterate on that. And the way they're structured now is that they can iterate very, very quickly, especially from a hardware perspective. And then they have everything sitting on top of Windows 10, which they have basically made to bend to their will. So it's like Windows 10 runs their VR platform. Windows 10 runs their gaming platform. Windows 10 runs their mobile platform. Windows 10 runs their traditional desktop and laptop platform. So they're set up, and it's super important for them to have, they need to have those checks in, and they need to be able to like be in every single one of those categories. The only one they're missing right now, thanks to Ford, is cars. And I know there's been some rumblings of having their software running cars, but they have all angles covered now, which you could not say in the 2006, 2007 range when they were like trying to figure out what to do about Vista, and all of a sudden the iPhone comes out and completely changes everyone's mind share. Like everyone was talking about it. I mean, even Steve Ballmer was talking about it. So, I mean, this whole hardware angle is super smart on their part. At least in my perspective, it is. I mean, execution-wise, yeah, Surface RT was totally jacked, but really good idea to put Windows on ARM, like full-blown Windows on ARM.
It's interesting, Microsoft basically, I guess they, I mean, when the analogy that came to mind was they went from having to put the car in the shop for 6 months just to change the tires to being able to change all four tires going 200 miles an hour without stopping. And
Yes.
that's kind of what they've done. They've gotten to the point now where they, like you said, they've got this foundation and they can just build anything on top of it. It spans everything that we know is hot right now, and a few things that they're anticipating might be. I don't know, like bots. I don't know if this whole bot frameworks thing is going to take off, but that's an area where Microsoft is actually leading. Slack has to a certain degree within their applications, certainly, but Microsoft's the first one that's basically come out and said, "Hey, here's this huge framework for this whole new area. Hey, go build this stuff," which is another different and interesting way Microsoft has changed in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and you know what? Even another one that we haven't talked about, and this isn't hardware related, but AI. I mean, they have them, Amazon and Google are the only three serious players in AI. That's a whole nother. Oh, we're gonna go stick Cortana in Xbox. Okay, 6 months later, out pops Cortana. I mean, it's incredible.
That's kind of why I'm glad you brought up the car thing, because it's almost why I don't think they're completely out of the car space. A lot of that is going to depend on the automakers and what kind of systems they're willing to put into their cars. But think of Continuum as a CarPlay equivalent. If you've got a rec if you've just got the equipment to receive and all you need is an app on your phone and Continuum to project it to the screen in the car, that's actually a fairly low-cost solution for an automaker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I, you know, there,
I've never thought of it like that.
I don't know that they're completely out of the auto game, but it is definitely, if they're anywhere as far behind as they were the mobile curve, they're that far behind in auto right now, at least that we know of publicly. So if they're going to make a play, they're going to have to do it quick.
Do you find it interesting, and I think we've talked about this a little bit before, but you know, if we have Cortana on Xbox now, and we have you know, an Xbox in every living room with a microphone, at what point do people calm down and finally realize that if Amazon can listen in on all of your conversations and respond with Alexa and Echo, why not Microsoft?
I don't know. It's not a, I don't think it's a technological thing. I don't know. I think they might feel like it's a privacy thing. It's that kind of thing maybe gives the right people the heebie-jeebies. You know, it's, I don't know. I've heard the clamoring for a Microsoft-like device in that arena, and I don't know.
Because for me, there's a worry where, you know, in the late 90s, Microsoft felt like it had to be everywhere. AOL is doing really successful. We have to have MSN. Netscape's really successful. We have to have Internet Explorer. And like everything was sort of like not invented here. And that was a big problem and kind of a source of frustration for a lot of people that went to the Mac. Because everyone sort of wanted, not everyone, but a lot of people that went to the Mac wanted, you know, open source technologies, spirit of collaboration, and Microsoft said, you do it our way. And that's it. And, you know, you use Internet Explorer, you use .NET, and if you want to do anything else, well, good luck. So there's, for me, there's a concern of, well, do they have too many eggs in their basket? But also, you don't want the whole 2007 thing to happen again where they totally miss a boat because they're, you know, trying to protect their crown jewels of the desktop. So I do wonder what other people think about, you know, whether or not Microsoft needs to have an Alexa competitor or an Echo competitor, or if they just sort of say, that's a space we don't need to be in because we have Cortana and we're not really in the e-commerce business and the integrations business.
That's Amazon's avenue. What other avenue do they have? For developing this AI, testing this AI, getting it out there, making it better. They don't have, like you said, Microsoft has Cortana. So that's their play already. Microsoft has their play. So does Microsoft need to go develop another piece of hardware to go put their back-end Cortana service on just because Amazon has one? I don't know. If, like you said, if the Xbox is in the living room and that responds to voice, and your computer in your office, it responds to voice, and your tablet and your phone and all of that all respond to, hey, Cortana, do you actually need another device? I would think that that would be a waste of time and effort on Microsoft's part.
Do you think it's a problem that Surface Phone isn't going to come out until 2017?
No.
If it does come out?
If it does come out. Getting rid of 18,000 employees, selling off the feature phone business, and effectively killing the Lumia brand should be a pretty clear signal that Microsoft is not interested in being in the consumer phone market. And until the Surface phone fits into their long-range plans, it's not going to come out. There's probably no shortage of people who go, well, this is awful. They're not going to sell any Lumia devices and all that money. Well, that's just the way it is. That's what happened. It's done. It's not going to change. And anybody that thinks that, you know, the Surface phone is the answer to saving the Windows 10 mobile platform or Windows phone in general, that ship's sailed. It's not going to happen.
I think the original announcement saying how they were going to focus with Windows 10 Mobile, you know, they said, we're going to focus on enthusiasts, Value phones and enterprise. And now it seems like only one of those still exists. Just like maybe a year and a half later.
I think if the phone does arrive, that it will combine both the enterprise and enthusiast categories.
Okay.
We're definitely not going to see any more low-end hardware, that's for sure.
So in 5 years, what does Windows 10 Mobile look like to you? What does success look like for you in the Windows 10 Mobile space?
That there are devices that have been on the market running Windows 10 Mobile for at least 3 iterations by someone other than Microsoft. When I see an HP put out a Windows 10 Mobile device 1 year, and then the next year iterate, innovate that hardware and do it again, and then the next year do it again, maybe I'm willing to say, okay, it's successful. It's not going to involve the consumer space.
So we're living in this world of BYOD. I sign up and I subscribe to my company's Exchange account, Office 365 account. They lock it down with two-factor. They lock it down with mobile device management. And we all sort of, that's reality today. So in 5 years, what compels HP to continue building phones for the enterprise when BYOD is so prevalent and, you know, people don't really want to carry two devices?
What's interesting is that everything tends to have a little bit of a pullback after it swings in one direction in kind of a wild way. And I think most corporations are naturally wary of BYOD, and they've begrudgingly allowed it to occur because that's what a certain set of employees have demanded. I think there's going to be a backlash to that at some point. What's the current count of the estimated amount of malware on Android devices? So, you know, anybody that's in their right mind, that's got a business, large or small, is looking at ways to kind of find a middle ground there. Microsoft, the 950 XL, has two SIM slots in it. There's no reason to carry an extra phone.
Well, you're not carrying the extra phone for the phone number. You're carrying the extra phone so you can actually get some apps.
Well, I guess if Snapchat shows up, you know, although everything will be all right. At least that's what I'm told. But yes, to your point, you are correct. That is why people are carrying two devices. But at some point, if Windows 10 Mobile does find some success in the enterprise, it may have to be Microsoft driving it initially, much as the same they've done with the Surface line. If they can find some success, then they might find employees more willing to use a company issued device. But I do not, that's all crystal ball kind of stuff. I definitely do not believe that BYOD is going to continue to run rampant the way it has. I think that there will be a backlash to that.
Interesting. Okay. I don't think I agree, but I like your perspective.
I just think that the real world security is not keeping up at all. And that's going to have a cost at some point, and business is going to put the brakes on it. But I'm probably wrong. You're probably right.
Well, no, I mean, I would love to be, I mean, I, as a huge fan of Windows Phone, I would love to be wrong, but I just look at it like, if you factor in the cost of the device, you factor in the cost of breakage, you factor in the cost of the actual cell plan and people going over, managing that with accounting and all of that crap. it's really hard to go back to that world from a business standpoint, because they're like, if someone breaks their iPhone, we don't have to worry about it anymore. If someone goes over their data, we don't have to wade through those waters anymore. We don't have to listen to someone bitch about how our platform of choice, our secure platform of choice, doesn't have Snapchat. Like, because they had that, you know, in 2009, 2010, they had that where companies were just issuing BlackBerries in droves, right? Mm-hmm. And then everyone showed up the next day with their iPhones because, you know, they were the new hotness and they wanted to be able to call Uber cabs and all of that. And BlackBerry just couldn't do that. So all of a sudden you have people carrying two devices and one of them is in your complete control, but yet everything's being like, all of a sudden your employees start routing their work email through Gmail. Not that anyone would use a personal email server for work related tasks.
No, never. Now, of course, we have to draw the distinction between server and commercial email service. They are two distinct things.
Yeah. So I really don't see it, because what happens now is that everything's locked down through MDM. And I think a lot of organizations look at this problem being a software problem. So the malware thing on Android, I'm not going to touch because I don't have the knowledge there. I just don't know any. I mean, I know malware is really a big problem on Android, but I don't know how it infects, you know, if you have VPN connections and you have Cisco Jabber and you have, you know, Skype and you have end-to-end encryption for other pieces. And I don't understand. And you have, does MDM exist even for Android? I honestly have no idea.
I want to say that Microsoft, I'm not 100% certain, but I now want to reflexively say, I'm sure Microsoft's solution does. Since they're so cross-platform friendly now, it certainly does, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, enforcing passcodes and all of that stuff. Like, MDM solves a lot of that. So yeah. I don't see organizations saying, well, how do I sign up again for, you know, worrying about hardware defects and cell plans and breakage and all of that crap. Where do I sign back up for that? I don't see companies doing that.
If we are going to be in a bring your own device world where the employee basically gets to just dictate what they bring into the office, then I don't know that Microsoft ever wins that battle. I just don't know that they do. There are ways that you could creatively bring, suggest to an enterprise, for example, I'll use my own company. Hey, you know, why don't you structure things in a way to where here's an approved set of devices. Here's an iPhone and here's a Windows phone. And we'll support both, and those two things are allowed on our network, and but these apps aren't, and we're going to lock those down. So suddenly, is the iPhone going to be that much more attractive? It's their phone. They get the company's going to subsidize it for them. They're going to pay a lower cost for it. It's going to be their bill, their phone number. They're going to manage it, but it happens to be the only thing that there is allowed on their network. So I don't know that Microsoft gets there through any natural momentum of their own and just making mobile available. I think there has to be a fundamental shift somehow in the structure at the enterprise level in order for that to happen. For you to say, yes, it's successful. Yes, it's got a long-term play. It's going to be around for a really long time. I don't see it getting there on its own, right? At least not right now.
I'm just trying to figure out what the end game is for Windows 10 mobile or just Windows mobile. I mean, I just don't understand the end game. And I don't think Continuum has enough reason to exist to, quote unquote, save the platform. I think it's a really cool technology demo, but I don't see it. I think it's great for salespeople that don't need a computer, just like, you know, tablets are great for people that don't need regular full desktop computers or laptop computers. it comes back to our Surface RT discussion. I think it's a worthwhile endeavor. Maybe it's a, let's just have this exist. Let's kind of build excitement for UWP. And then maybe if we get the desktop users, we get more apps for UWP, maybe we will can trickle that down into the phone. But it, how do they compete? Because it's like, well, of course you want to take a photo with the best camera that you can possibly buy, or at least I do. I don't want to, like, that was one of the big draws to move away from my Icon was, well, this camera sucks these days. So I need to take photos, and these photos are not cutting it anymore.
I'm not convinced Microsoft knows where this is going. Think they just know that they've got to make these changes. They're fundamental to the like you said at the very beginning of the show. You know, they've created this foundation, they've spread it out across a bunch of different areas, and now we're just supposed to, I guess, sit back and see what pops. And it might take a couple of years for the pop to happen, just like it did with the Surface RT and the underlying technology behind that.
Yeah, they're on a noble path, and I think they're doing it better than anyone else. Execution and support, they're not getting the support that they need from, you know, they're building all this great technology, but I think the technology they're building is falling on deaf ears in a lot of areas.
And one might argue that this new openness and this new attitude towards open source is at its essence a grassroots effort at changing that. If you can't get the big players to play, you get small players to love you and demand that the big players play.
Yeah, what's funny is they actually have, so I think they have the reverse problem. They have the big behemoths, right? So
I guess what I was saying there was winning hearts and minds. If it goes back to the whole bring your own device thing, why do people want an iPhone? Why do people want an Android phone? Why would people want a Microsoft phone?
This is perfect. So you say start a grassroots effort of building really great devices that people lust after, and start a grassroots effort of supporting open source technologies. You hopefully get the consumer space, the person that walks into Best Buy and is comparing laptops. I really like this. Oh, wow, this isn't a Mac and it's built like this and it runs Windows. What I know, sure, I'll purchase this. So, you know, build those devices. And then if you can also, you know, harness that whole grassroots momentum for developers, we're going to have first class bash on Windows. You no longer have to install a VM or do some weird putty SSH thing. Like, we're just going to support that natively. All of those things are very pro. We're coming to you holding our hat in our hand and saying, all right, we realize we're the underdog in certain scenarios, especially from a mindshare and cool kid factor. So, you know, and oh man, I wish I had the quote from Nadella, but it was, you know, the iMac came out in 97, and it wasn't until, you know, I don't know, it was years and years and years before the iPhone came out. So give us some time. We're at the beginning of this, and we're turning things around. And again, Microsoft is crazy successful right now. Like, let's make no mistake about this. But from a hardware and mindshare perspective, no one really cares about Windows Phone. And people are just starting to wake up to these great devices in the Surface family. And people are starting to wake up to this idea of, the Xbox is starting to do a little bit better. I think Phil Spencer is doing some really good things there. So they're really, you know, I think they're sending all the right signals. From a hardware and platform perspective. And it's just like, we just need to get more people to listen. So I think let's just close this out. We are Robert and Chris. This is the Cheeky Tech Podcast. Robert is the Cheeky Taurus on Twitter, and I am A Universe Away on Twitter. And we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks a lot.